Hello, hello. It's so great to see you guys here. It's always a little surreal starting off because we pray for you so often and think so often about all that we're going to be doing together this weekend. So it's wonderful to see you. I'm so excited for our time together in God's Word this weekend as we study and learn more about Him and grow in our faith. Let me go ahead and open us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time. Thank you for each one of these women, and thank you that they have made it a priority to be here, setting aside other important things to make it a priority to spend this time learning from your word and fellowshipping with one another. As we strive to learn more from your word, I pray that you would help us to keep in mind that this is not just about consuming more knowledge and learning more facts and more things, but really coming to know you more and more. I pray that you would give each one of us the desire and the diligence to apply the truth of your word to our lives so that we can be growing and changing and becoming more like Christ. Thank you so much again for your love and your care. I pray that you would be with me as I speak. I pray that you'd help me to speak the truth from your word and that through your Holy Spirit you would apply this truth to each heart and each life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so our theme for Morgan, can we advance the slide? Oh, you're busy. So we will have notes up there where you can see the session title and our points as we work our way through. We'll have that for each one of our sessions. Thank you so much, Morgan. So our theme for Refresh 2025 is unshakable. And our theme verse is Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Throughout this weekend, we will consider what it means to be unshakable and how it ought to be evident in our lives. So what does it mean to be unshakable? We've put together a definition for you, and it's on page 10 in your notes, the first page for our Friday evening session. Let me read that for you. To be unshakable is to be firm and steadfast, resolute and unwavering no matter the circumstance, because we are held securely on the foundation of the character and nature of God, His goodness, His sovereignty, His perfect faithfulness, and unending love. Ooh. Being unshakable does not come from any strength we have within. It's not because of any efforts we make. It's not something we have or something we do. Being unshakable is a spiritual condition based on God Himself. The reason we can be unshakable is because of the character and nature of God. Every spiritual blessing, every benefit of God's care and protection, every working of His power and might, every promise in His word becomes ours when we are in Christ, when we have the Holy Spirit at work within us. This is how we can be unshakable. And this is modeled for us in Psalm 62, which was written by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We'll be studying through this psalm during our teaching time this weekend. In David's example, we see a commitment to wait for God alone, even under trying circumstances, a commitment to trust Him at all times because of who He is. So as we start, I'm going to read Psalm 62 for you. You can open there in your Bibles, or on page 9 in your booklet, we have the text written out for you so that you can refer to that whenever you'd like. So let me go ahead and read Psalm 62. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only a vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. So as we consider what we can learn from Psalm 62, I want us to think a little bit about the background of David, because being familiar with his life will add so much to what we can learn from this psalm. David lived through and is speaking from experience as he wrote this psalm. So just a little bit of background. You're probably familiar with it, but I want it to be fresh in our minds as we consider this psalm that he wrote. David grew up as a shepherd boy in Bethlehem caring for his father's sheep. And at a young age, he was chosen by God to replace King Saul as king of Israel, though it was many years before he took the throne. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit for the task ahead and went on to become Israel's greatest king. I want to read a portion about his about God bringing him to the throne. This is from Psalm 78. It says, "He, God, also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes with suckling lambs. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands." More important than being chosen as a great king, David had been chosen by God for salvation. David is included among the saints listed in Hebrews 11 who had gained approval from God by faith, trusting in God and his promises. He was saved, received salvation by placing his faith in the Redeemer God had promised, which we know is Jesus Christ. And David loved God and followed him with his whole heart. In Psalm 40, verse 8, he wrote, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written, your law is within my heart." David had a heart that loved God, but he was not perfect. He sinned greatly before the Lord in many different ways that are recorded for us in Scripture, and this brought severe chastening from the Lord that impacted him, his family, and his nation, and it's all there in Scripture for us to read about. But what makes his example so precious is that he recognized his sin and repented of it, and through it all, he had a heart to do the will of God. In Acts, Paul spoke of God's work in David's life. In Acts 13:22, it says, "After he, God, had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" Through the Holy Spirit, David's heart was pointed toward God. And throughout his life, he was characterized by a deep desire to follow God's will and to do everything God wanted him to do. And his life was not easy. David's life was full of trial and turmoil and betrayal and great danger, and he learned by experience that deliverance only comes from the Lord. As a boy, he fought lions and bears, and he defeated the giant Goliath. He served in the court of Saul, who tried to kill him multiple times over many years. He fought innumerable battles, and he faced the betrayal of close friends and counselors, and even his own son, who rebelled and tried to steal the kingdom. Despite all the trouble he endured, he fully trusted God and depended on him. And while we don't know the specific trouble David faced at the writing of Psalm 62, we can learn much from the way he faces problems and focuses his thoughts on God so that he is unshaken. We'll learn more about the specifics of this psalm in our other teaching sessions, but this evening I want to draw your attention to a couple points that we can take from this psalm. First, as we're looking at that, notice David's deep trust in God alone. David had a deep trust in God alone. Even amidst betrayal and adversity, his focus and his confidence was on God, on who God is. David was full of faith and trust with no fear and no despair. And despite his trouble, he did not ask God for anything in this psalm. Did you notice that? There are no petitions in this psalm. He entrusted himself completely to God, fully confident in God's care and protection. And as he rehearses what he knows to be true of God in this psalm, his confidence grows. He progresses from saying, "I will not be greatly shaken," in verse 2, to "I will not be shaken," in verse 6. He knew he was unshakable as he relied on God's unwavering strength and stability. And this trust he had in God was not divided. He trusted in God only. Notice in Psalm 62, verses 1, in the first part of verse 2, it says, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation." He was resolved to look nowhere else for help or hope. God was his only source of salvation, strength, and refuge. He did not rely on any of his own strength or resources. He refused to look elsewhere for help or hope, and he kept his trust in God alone. He was adamant that his stability was based on God's strength alone. God was his only rock, his only hope. I love this quote from Puritan John Trapp. He said, They trust not God at all who trust him not alone. We cannot have a divided trust. David knew this, and he placed his complete trust and hope on God alone. Next, notice David's personal relationship with God. Maybe you noticed it as I read it earlier, as you've been reading over it, how many times he says, my. In verses 1 and 2, it says, he is my salvation, my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. And then again in verses 6 and 7, my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge. David knew he would not be shaken because of his intimate relationship with God. Because God had granted him salvation, he knew God as his rock, his strength, his stronghold, his refuge. This is how he can be so confident in placing his trust in God. He knew he belonged to God and he was under the care and protection of the God of the universe. This is the truth behind the very familiar Psalm 23 that I'm sure you all know. My study Bible describes Psalm 23, which is written by David, as a hymn of confidence and a testimony by David to the Lord's faithfulness throughout his life. I want to read that for you as we're considering David's confidence in the Lord. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the Lord was his shepherd, he knew he had nothing to fear in life or in death. He knew God was for him. We see this in practice in Psalm 56 when David was in danger from the Philistines. In verses, starting in verse 9, this is of Psalm 56 if you want to write down the reference. Psalm 56, 9 through 11. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? David was unshakable because of his God, because of all he knew God to be, because God Almighty was for him and would accomplish all things for him. He was unshakable. So how can we be unshakable? How can we have the same confidence? How can we know for certain that no matter what we face, we will not be shaken? David had full trust and confidence in God. David was unshakable because he was in a right relationship with God. David knew he belonged to the Lord and that God would care for him. This is the key to being unshakable. It depends on God alone, so we must be right with God. This brings us to our first point. Unshakable in position, and this is our position through the gospel. Remember, being unshakable is based on or because of the truth that we are held securely on the foundation of God's character and God's nature. So we must be in a right relationship with God to know this security. Psalm 55:22 says, he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So those who can be unshakable are those who are righteous. But scripture makes it clear that no one is righteous. In Psalm 143, David wrote, in your sight, no man living is righteous. Remember, God is perfect and holy, and every single one of us, every person who has ever lived, is a sinner. We are born with a sinful nature, and Scripture describes us as being slaves of sin. There's no way we can undo our past sin, and no way we can be perfectly righteous going forward, even if we could erase our past sin. We cannot meet the righteous, perfect standard of God. And because God is perfectly holy, he is also perfectly just. He must punish sin. Because of our sin, each person is deserving of God's just punishment for sin, which is death and eternal separation from God in hell. Apart from being in a right relationship with God, we have no security and will be shaken and knocked down and will one day face the judgment and wrath of God for our sin. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We must turn to God for mercy and help. Because God is loving and merciful, he has made a way for us to be right with him, a way for us to be righteous before him, to stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. And this way is through the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. He is our only Savior, our only Deliverer, our only Redeemer. David wrote of this salvation in Psalm 34:22. And we're going to look at this verse for a little bit here, so you can turn there if you'd like to. Psalm 34:22. It says, "The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. First, David is speaking of the redemption of the soul. Remember, in our sin, we stand guilty before God. We're actually his enemies because of our sin, and we deserve his wrath. We're required to pay the penalty for our sin. And God has acted in saving grace to redeem all those who would believe on him. He redeems the soul of his servants. To redeem means to ransom, rescue, or deliver. It speaks of purchase by payment of a ransom, to release a person from bondage, paying the price to set someone free. And this is what Jesus did on our behalf. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus said that he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In God's plan of redemption, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to redeem a people for himself. Jesus is fully God, and when he came to earth, he took on flesh, meaning he took on human nature and human form, becoming fully man. And he lived a life of perfect righteousness. And he died on the cross in our place as our Redeemer. He gave his life as a ransom to pay the penalty that we owed for our sin and to purchase our freedom from slavery of sin. And then he rose again. God's holiness demanded a just payment for the penalty of our sin, and Jesus paid that price for us with his own blood. Because he paid our penalty and satisfied the wrath of God for our sin, we are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Because he paid our ransom, we are free from slavery to sin and become slaves of righteousness, belonging to God himself. Romans 6:22 says, "But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life." And not only that, but according to Romans 3:24, we are also justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We are justified. This means that we are declared righteous. My study Bible says that God declares a sinner righteous solely on the basis of the merits of Christ's righteousness. God placed our sin on his son when he died on the cross, and in a glorious exchange, he placed Jesus' perfect righteousness on us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can have our sin paid for and be given perfect righteousness that is acceptable to God so that we can belong to him and take refuge in him. This is what David said in Psalm 34:22. "The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." Those who have been redeemed by God can take refuge in him. This ought to be our response to the message of the gospel. It's only through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ that we can receive forgiveness of sin and be made right with God. So to be saved, we must take refuge in him. He is our only hope. To take refuge speaks of fleeing for protection, to put your trust and hope in God. To be saved, we must run to Christ for salvation. And this involves repentance and faith. This was Jesus' call throughout his ministry. He called people to repent and believe in the gospel. To repent means to turn away from sin and unbelief and turn towards God. True repentance involves acknowledging your sin and your need for forgiveness, and then turning away from sin and turning towards God in faith. Faith is to believe in and place your trust fully in Jesus Christ, to embrace him as Savior from sin and as Lord over your life, acknowledging that he is the only way to be saved. This repentance and faith are not works that we can do or anything we can attain to on our own, but they're gifts of God granted in salvation. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, God grants repentance, and he gives the faith to believe as a gift of his grace. Paul Washer has said, "Our salvation is found in what God has accomplished on our behalf through the cross of his dear Son." As a result of God's work of redemption, those who take their refuge in him, the verse says, will not be condemned. None of those who take refuge in the Lord will be condemned. That's what David wrote in Psalm 34:22. And we see the same thing in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus are those who have taken refuge in the Lord. Condemnation was due, but Jesus took that on himself on the cross and paid our debt. God's gift of salvation is a complete gift that comes with full forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. With our sin and debt taken away by Jesus, and on the merit of Jesus' perfect righteousness given to us, we are now at peace with God and can draw near to him, take refuge in him. This was David's experience. God had redeemed his soul, and he had taken refuge in the Lord. And as a result, he knew he was secure and could not be shaken. David wrote in Psalm 21:7, "For the king," speaking of himself, "for the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he," the king, David, "will not be shaken." David had been redeemed by the loving kindness, the grace and mercy of the Lord. This can be our experience as well. Through the gospel, we are brought into a right relationship with God in Christ. And then, due to our position in Christ, we are unshakable. That is our position in Christ. And then we ought to live that way. And that's our second point, unshakable in practice. And this is also only possible through the gospel. Because we are unshakable in Christ through the gospel, our standing before God is sure. He is our refuge. He is our salvation. Our sins are paid for, and our eternity is secure in Christ. Not only that, but as we continue our lives here on earth as true followers of Jesus Christ, he is the rock on which we stand, our firm foundation for all of life. David refers to the rock multiple times in Psalm 62 and also in Psalm 18. He writes, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." David was not just talking about his eternal security, but his security for all of the tough battles in life. He was talking about being unshakable on the firm foundation of his relationship with the Lord through all of the circumstances of life, no matter what he would face. This was the spiritual reality he lived in because of his relationship with God. In Psalm 16:8-9, David wrote, "I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." David wrote of this confidence again and again in the Psalms, and his account is in God's word for our instruction and our benefit, so we can see and know what God is like and know what God has done. We can benefit so much from studying through the Psalms, whether they were written by David or not. John MacArthur encouraged studying the Psalms, saying that they get our focus off of ourselves and onto God. As we learn more about God, we have so much to praise him for. And MacArthur also said, anxiety cannot survive in an environment of praise to God. There's reason enough alone to focus on the Psalms. So with that in mind, with the little bit of time we have left, I want to share just a few passages from Psalm. This was probably the hardest part of preparing, is what should I choose to share. Just a few passages from Psalms written by David that show his trust and confidence in God through some of the extreme circumstances he faced. I probably only have time for two. Let's be reasonable here. So one to note and read later that I'm not going to read is Psalm 25:1-10. The whole psalm is wonderful. I was only going to have time for 10 verses, but what I'm going to read for you this evening is Psalm 57. This is one of the times when David was fleeing from Saul. He was hiding in a cave. His life was actually being threatened. I think sometimes in our fears we can feel like our lives are threatened, and a lot of times they aren't. But David was facing a very real threat to his life, and this was his supreme confidence in the Lord. This is Psalm 57. "Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, let your glory be above all the earth. And then just one more in Psalm 59, 16 and 17. This was a time when Saul had sent men to watch David as he was in a house trying to kill him. And at that time, David wrote of that time in Psalm 59, and I'm going to read 16 and 17. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. The entire basis of his confidence is in God alone, the character and nature of God, his goodness, his sovereignty, and his perfect faithfulness and unending love. David knew that God is good, that he is good and he does good for his people. David knew that God is sovereign, that he has power and authority over all things and will accomplish his perfect will in all things, including all aspects of David's life. David knew that God is perfectly faithful, that he is unchanging in all his ways, and that he keeps his promises to his people always. For those who are in Christ, all of the promises of God are guaranteed. And David knew that God's love is unending. God's love is in and over and through all he does, and it's central to his nature and demonstrated perfectly in the redemption of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And God continually shows loving kindness to his children as he cares for us. Because of who God is, David knew that he was secure in life and in death, for now and eternity. And in the gospel, we can have that same confidence in God. This is the beauty of the gospel. Because he is our Redeemer, as he was David's Redeemer, we are secure in Christ for eternity. And we are secure in Christ for all that we will face in this life. When we are in Christ, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have his presence with us at all times. And we have Jesus interceding for us at the right hand of God on high. We can be unshakable as David was, because through our redemption in Christ, we know the same God and have the same Holy Spirit at work within us. As Paul writes in Ephesians 1:3, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And in Romans 8:31-32, it says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? There's a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones that I read that says that it is through and from the cross that everything becomes possible, and all the blessings of the Christian life are laid open before us. The cross is the door that leads to all blessing. Without it, there is nothing. Without the cross and all it means, we have no blessing from God at all. But the cross opens the possibility to all the endless blessings of the glorious God. This is how we can live a victorious Christian life, standing firm, unshakable, no matter what. Because of the character and nature of God, because of Christ our Redeemer, and because of the Holy Spirit our Helper who dwells within us, we can be firm and steadfast, resolute and unwavering, no matter the circumstances. We can be unshakable in Christ. And we must be in Christ to be unshakable. For those of you who are not true followers of Jesus Christ, I would plead with you to repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus. Outside of a saving relationship with him, you are not on solid ground. You will be shaken and will one day face God's judgment. For those who are true followers of Christ, remember that we are unshakable in Christ through the gospel and have been given every resource, every spiritual blessing necessary to be unshakable throughout all of life. Being unshakable is a spiritual reality based on the character and nature of God, and we are to respond to life from that firm foundation. Positionally, we are unshakable, but practically, we don't always live like it. So I want to end tonight with a question for you to think on. In Christ, we are unshakable. Why do we often not live that way? Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word and for this time we have to study together this weekend. Lord, if there's anyone here who is not a true follower of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would make that clear to her. I pray that there wouldn't be anyone here who is deceived into thinking they're saved if they're not. I pray that you would open eyes and draw anyone who's unsaved, draw her to yourself even now. For those of us who are in Christ, thank you that we are unshakable in him. Thank you that Jesus has paid the price of our redemption and that your Holy Spirit has enabled us to take refuge in you and gives us the power and guidance to live for you. Over this weekend, please reveal to each of us areas where we need to grow in our trust of you. Please reveal any sin in our lives that keeps us from taking refuge in you alone and fully submitting to you. Please use your Holy Spirit to convict us of the truth of your word, the truth that we are unshakable in Christ, and please teach us to depend on the strength that you provide. And please transform our lives as a result so that we grow to be more like Jesus, so that you will be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Question.